everybody. Thank you for tuning into the Black Impact. We're back with another episode. I have a lovely guest here with me by the name of Jamise. I am your host, TJ, and we're about to get into some trauma today. All right, so thank you for coming on today. I really appreciate you for tuning into us and being a guest on my show today.
Absolutely.
So I have a few questions for you today.
Okay.
My first question for you is, when you hear the word trauma, what is the first thing that you can relate it to?
Childhood.
So what in your childhood has triggered you that is very traumatic?
I feel like, I think just in general, the way that the Black community passes down the parental guidebook, mm-hmm. you know, like it's not like you're actually getting it. It's not tangible, but like just mm-hmm. that, them notes that you take from your elders. Yeah. On like how to parent, like it hasn't been broken up. Like it hasn't been, like we're passing down the wrong stuff. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
As far as like, do you have an example?
Yeah. Just like whipping your kids.
Yeah.
Like, now, don't get me wrong. I have given my right. daughter a good one once right. or twice, but I just feel like the way that it's done, like, you know, wanting your kids to fear you
right.
versus respect you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, you know, that whole not apologizing thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I apologize to my daughter on the regular. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The same way that we teach them how to apologize.
Right. We need to
Who's
be able
teaching
to,
us how to apologize.
Right. And I think when you talk about beating your kids, you can't beat your kids when you're upset too.
Because, exactly.
You know, that can, you know, lead to something else.
Exactly. And one thing that I've learned as a parent, or one thing that I really strive to do, like Kayla will piss me off sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm pissed off, I don't even bring it to her attention. Like mm-hmm. she will still be downstairs minding her good old business while I'm upstairs boiling, because mm-hmm. I'm like, this is not the time to approach
yeah,
her.
Yeah, you can't do it. Why you mad?
Because I want to approach her with love, and I want to approach her right. with respect, because just because you did something to piss me off does not mean that I want you to go find love in these streets.
Right, right.
Or, you know, for you not to feel like you have, you know, support at home.
Right. So, you want her to also be able to come to you and talk to you. You know, sometimes when our parents used to beat us, you know, it's basically not giving us a safe space to even come in and say anything.
Exactly.
It just, we have a wall up, because when we do something wrong, it's like, oh no, I don't know how my parent is going to react to that. So
exactly.
I'm not going to say anything. You don't want them to fear you. You want them to respect you, but
right.
you know, also be able to come to you and talk to you about certain issues that they're having, instead of shutting them down or getting mad at them at, you know, anything.
Yep. So, for example, I will share something personal. A couple of weeks ago, my daughter attempted suicide.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And this was one of those moments where, this was a moment where what I just said, like, sometimes I try to, you know, calm myself down and I make sure that that's my thing. But at this time, I was on my way to work.
Right.
So I didn't have the opportunity to calm myself down.
Mm-hmm.
And I just spazzed, because she's 13 and she's getting to the age where she feels like her logic is better than, or more important than what I've asked her to do.
Right.
So Kayla walked the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Kayla, did you walk the dog? No, I didn't walk the dog, because she already used the bathroom in the house. I'm like, okay, but I still asked you to walk the dog.
Right.
So while she's making the excuses, I come out of my room, like, ready for work. I'm mm-hmm. like, okay, the dog has been walked, you know, da da da. So I'm like, Kayla, you walked the dog? She's like, no, I didn't walk the dog, because I just took her out front. So I just went off. Like, I blacked mm-hmm. out. Like, I'm already on my way to work. I'm trying to, you know, manage my time, and
yeah.
I'm running late. So I spazzed out, and I made it to work at 10 o'clock, and at 10:15, she was calling me scared, because she had just taken some pills. And she called the ambulance, and,
oh, no.
you know, like, yeah. So my point in saying that is, like, what I try to remind people all the time is that be careful how you talk to your kids, because
mm-hmm.
we don't know what they're going through. We don't know what's on their mind. And this goes back to my point when I talk to my mother about certain things regarding my daughter. She'll be like, oh, Kayla's just doing that for attention. Oh, Kayla's just, Kayla's saying, you know, screw you.
Right.
She's
you
gonna
see
do it
how
her
she
way.
Just dismissed what you were saying to
Exactly.
her?
And it's like, that's not what I'm going to take from this situation. I'm going to think about why she's acting this way.
Exactly.
Because you did that to me.
Right.
As a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like Kayla did.
Exactly.
In that moment. So something about our parenting is, you know, needs to be checked. And
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna check it instead of just taking your advice.
Right.
You weren't the greatest parent.
Right.
So why am I just gonna keep taking your advice
exactly.
and then cause my child the same trauma? So just being mindful is really something that I try to do.
Was she able to talk to you about, you know, her, the reason why she did that? Was it just because of how your reaction was because of her not taking the dog out?
So I
or
think,
was it a, like a buildup of, you know, things?
Yeah, I think that it was a buildup of emotions. She's at this age now where I would say around 11, it started to, like, her challenging authority and her, like I said, overriding authoritative figures because of her logic. That started around 11, which I can only attribute to she's figuring life out, you know, so I can't be mad at her because she's a human. She's a little human, but she's a human.
Yeah.
So she's figuring life out to where, so someone else may call it lazy, but we as adults do things to cut corners all the time.
That's true.
If it makes more sense to do it this
that
way, I'm gonna do it that way.
Right.
So I try to give her a little bit of
grace.
In that way. And but it don't always happen like that, because as a parent, at the end of the day, I told you to
do something
and you should do it
right.
So I think that just like from these past couple years of like her seeing my bad side, because it's been like overwhelming, you know, her challenge and authority. So like I said, I'm not going to say that I'm innocent, but I am going to say that, you know, she and I both, you know, have some things that we can work on to be better.
Right.
And I feel like that's a part, you know, that's just parenting, like figuring it out. But one thing I won't do is take the advice of my elders that put me in those positions and, you know, give them to my child. So, but I think the biggest thing is knowing, like, she knows how much I love her. And so when she disappoints me, she feels it heavily.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't even have to punish her. I don't have to spank her. I don't have to do anything. If she knows that I'm upset with her, she'll go in her room and cry. So just things like that. And I think it just built up to a point where she was just feeling, you know, and feeling really dark. But she's about to go to therapy and we're about to figure some things out. And I think
good.
That's important. So.
Yeah. Is you said that. I'm so glad that she didn't, you know, move forward with that. And, you know, but how did you feel in that moment when she called you and did that?
Girl.
Because I know that's tough on your way to work. And then you like,
I gotta
call
to
my
work.
Job. This is a family emergency, because forget this job at this moment. This is my child. I got to figure out what's going on.
So the thing is, I work at CNN and I do hair and makeup for anchors, right? So this is a Saturday and that means I'm the only hair and makeup artist in the room.
Oh,
I'm the only
right.
hair and makeup artist staff for this anchor that's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So on top of the amount of guilt that I felt immediately, because I knew exactly what it was that brought this into fruition, it was, who is going to take this anchor?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't just leave this anchor hanging.
Yeah.
So gratefully, it was an anchor who, I mean, I'd have still had to leave regardless, but I would have just felt really bad. So gratefully, it was an anchor who really didn't need me anyway. She does her own makeup and she just kind of like, she'll get somebody to play with her eyes or something like that, but she really didn't need me. So she was just like, my boss was just like, go ahead. But it was just really, that was really traumatic as a parent, because I just kept blaming myself.
Yeah.
And like, even my mom in that moment, she was like, okay, Jamise, like, cause I called her first, like, hey, can you get over there? Because I don't think I can leave work. And she was just like, okay, just calm down. Don't worry about it. I'll go over there. I'll handle it. And it was just like the amount of nonchalantness in her voice.
In your mom's voice?
Yes. Was driving me crazy, because
like, it's not that serious.
Yes.
I don't know why they do that. Where do they get that from? That it's not serious when it comes to
Girl.
Certain things. Like, I don't know how they just get that and just brush that off. Where did they get that from?
I have no idea, but it was pissing me off. And I was just like, okay, I can't leave this to you, because my mom is the type of person who, she'll be like, well, if you get locked up, you're gonna stay in there. And like, you know, she thinks that's like scaring you enough to not want to get locked up. Where I'm the type of parent that's like, if you get locked up, I'm going to come and bail you out, yeah. but it's going to be me and you.
Right.
You're going to have to deal with me. I'm never going to leave you hanging. I'm never going right. to leave you stranded, but you won't have to face me.
Right.
And I feel like that's what parenting is, not, oh, I'm going to mm-hmm. leave you stranded. So, like, excuse me?
That's abandonment.
Yeah.
You know, being, all of that ties into abandonment. And you've that's been nonchalant about how my child is feeling, how I'm feeling in that moment. You're not even... You're my mother.
Exactly.
You're her grandmother. You're not parenting me yeah. in that moment.
Yeah.
And you're not parenting my granddaughter. I mean, your granddaughter in that moment. You're just like, oh, she, you know, she just wants attention.
Yeah.
And if she does,
then that's my that's... opportunity to give her that attention.
Exactly. But why are you trying to shy it away from,
yeah.
oh, it's not that big of a deal? Because what, God forbid, what if she actually went through with
exactly.
it? And then what? Oh, it's exactly. just a funeral. Oh, it's right. just like, no. Then now it's bigger than what it is now.
Yeah.
I don't understand, like, why they do that. Like, even my mom and my dad, oh, you'll be okay. Nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
Something is wrong with me.
Yeah.
Like, it's take time to, like, listen to your kids and understand how they feeling, because they go out here in the world and... You know, they got to deal with other people who don't care. It's
exactly.
bad enough that the world don't care about them.
Exactly.
But my own mother, my own father don't care about what I'm saying, how I'm feeling.
And then think about the fact that we go out into the world on a regular basis. Like, what people fail to realize is that kids are human too.
Yes.
They have their own set of emotions. And it's not yep. It's not tied exactly to you. Like,
right.
for example, my mother is a very emotionally, she's a very emotionally unavailable person.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't fault her for that. You know, with age, I've come to understand that that's just
who she is. I want
to
stop you from there. How are you going to be emotionally, but unlike?
Well, no. She's emotionally unavailable, period.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was just trying to find my words, but she's just emotionally unavailable. Like,
okay.
My mother is not an affectionate person.
Mm-hmm.
She is like, I heard I love you probably 3 times in my childhood. Like,
really?
Yeah, like never was like a hug, you know, like, and that's why for her, she kind of gets nauseous
mm-hmm.
when I'm like overly loving my child.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because I know how not having that affected me.
Yeah.
So I try to make sure that my daughter always
just
has
feels that.
Right.
Yeah.
But,
and how did that affect you growing up when your mom wasn't affectionate? How did that even play into your, you know, you being as an adult?
Well, there's still some things that I'm trying to figure out, you know,
mm-hmm.
Some things that I don't have the answers to, you know, and I think that therapy will open some doors and kind of help me to heal. I still don't
mm-hmm.
feel like I'm fully whole. But some of the things that I've been able to pinpoint is, for example, I had to learn how to love,
mm-hmm.
you know, and thankfully I have 5 aunts.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like an extension of my mother.
Right.
So, you know, getting off the phone with them, it's like, all right, I love you. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
Getting off the phone with my mom, which, mind you, me and my mom are cool. It's completely
mm-hmm.
cool now. Like I said, I've grown up and I've realized that that's just who she is. But even now, like, I have to remind her, you know, it's okay to say, I love you, Mom. It's okay to say, you know, I love you. And that just be okay. So, yeah.
Divine wants attention, obviously. Papa, can you have a seat, please? Have a seat, please. Have a seat, please.
He said, yeah. Interview me. But yeah, I think that just learning how to love was a huge thing for me. Like,
mm-hmm.
even relationships and things. Like, I didn't know how to be the soft feminine woman, you
mm-hmm.
know, and that was a...
That,
girl, you gotta open some doors right
yeah.
here. About to open some doors. But I'll just stop there, like learning, like relearn. I never seen my mother be that. And I
mm-hmm.
know if you asked her, she would say, you know, she had to be strong and yada yada yada. And I get that. As black women, we always have to be strong.
Yeah.
But there's a way to be feminine too. And I feel like if I saw that a better example of that, I wouldn't have had to figure it out the hard way.
Can you sit down, please? Thank you. We just want somebody to lick. Jesus.
Say hi. So yeah, that's a couple of things that I've taken away, but like I said, I think that therapy will definitely help out some more.
Have you been to therapy before?
I have been to therapy when I was younger, and
mm.
I've been to therapy briefly as an adult, but never stayed with it just because of moving around and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to get back into it now where it'll be a routine thing, because Baby, I need to
Did you
unload.
think it helped you when you were in therapy?
I never got the chance to,
To really.
yeah, like I'm talking two sessions maybe,
Oh,
like, and then I
really?
would move, or you know, something else would
Oh,
happen and
wow.
I wasn't able to stick through with it. So, or to stay with it. So I'm hoping that with this next, you know, chapter
Right.
that I will be able to, you know, at least do it for 6 months to see how, and then I'll be able to, you know, feel like I
I
have.
don't even think I've been in therapy for that long. Well,
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how long it's been, but I've been in therapy before though.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I took some tools from therapy. It's very helpful. Papa, all right. I don't know how long I've been in it, but I did take some tools from therapy. It definitely helped me look at certain things at a different point of view. But I talked about it before in my on my previous episodes that I haven't found the right therapist because the therapists that I have, they haven't been present. But I did have good experience with them. It's just I had some bad experience with them as well. So, but I'm not going to therapy as of right now. But my next question for you
That was a loaded
is,
question right there. Look at
I
that. I'm not
know, right?
gonna lie.
It was a loaded question. My next question for you is, how did you even like stay motivated to move throughout your day when that happened? I know you had to like drop everything, but then like after you found out that she was okay, and what was your next step? For that, besides, her, they're going to therapy.
So,
So this event won't happen again.
right. So we stayed in the hospital for about 10 hours, I would say, because they were trying to keep her until the therapist got there. And after that, they ended up admitting her into the psychiatric ward, the adolescent
Really?
psychiatric ward. And it was a Saturday, like I said. So, and then that next Monday was a holiday. So then she stayed in there for like 4 days.
Really? By herself?
Yeah, just with them, like just with the clinician,
Oh wow.
the
Imagine
doctors.
you, how did she feel just being in there by herself for them 4 days?
Was super ready to come home. She was
Yeah.
super remorseful. She was just like, you know, there's better
Did she
ways to
feel like
deal
it
with
was just
it.
her fault? Like, I messed up. I shouldn't have did this. You know how we get as a kid where we blame ourselves for every single thing?
Well, she felt like life wasn't that bad. I think that she got to see some of the other kids that were in there and like
Oh, okay,
what
that's
they were
good.
going through,
Yeah.
and she was just like, this is not where I belong.
Yeah.
Like I think that if she could, you know, translate her feelings into adult words, it would be like, I need some coping skills.
Right.
Sometimes life is lifing. And I just need a way to be able to communicate that to you and to be able to cope. And I feel like that's what they kind of gave her. They gave her some tools in that short period of time to be able to convey that message. And you know, like I said, it opened my eyes up. Like
Yeah.
I'm a very communicative person.
Sorry.
I'm a very communicative person. So, you know, I used to have sessions where I would sit down and say, how can I be a better mother to you?
Oh,
You
that's
know?
good though, because a lot of moms don't say that.
Yeah,
They don't think
I'm
about.
telling you, I'm trying to break all
Yeah.
the cycles.
They don't do that. Oh, it's, I think because they had it so young, they were a kid, they didn't really know like what they were getting themselves into. So they were still trying to like navigate certain things just like we were, because they got to deal with work. They got to go to work, and then they were dealing with slavery and racism, all that stuff back then. So go to work, come home, and deal with a kid and figure out, excuse me, how to, decompress and figure out their needs as well.
Yeah, they
So,
didn't even know how to cope.
right.
So I'm glad that therapy is becoming a thing, and you know, awareness
Yeah.
to childhood trauma and stuff like that is becoming a thing, because now I even feel, you know, powerful enough in my own right to say, okay, I'm not treating my child like this. You
Yeah.
know, this is not the way that I'm going to do things. So I feel like that's
Yeah.
really important.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that's I wouldn't say it stopped me from having a kid. the my me on having a kid is totally different. It's it's other reasons why I choose not to have a kid. But I do agree with you. The parenting needs to be different.
Yeah,
for sure. Like brushing your kids' feelings off. Not acknowledging anything, and yeah, just
and always feeling like you're right.
Yeah,
we're not always right.
Take the time to listen to what they're saying, you know. Try to make it better. Talk to them better.
Yeah,
because I feel like all parents do is yell at them.
Yeah,
and when you yell at someone, it makes them, you know,
feel small.
It makes them break down and
retreat. They don't want to, you know,
they're closed off.
Yeah,
they don't want to even talk to you.
Yeah, how can I want to talk to you?
Right. So like, yeah, I think the parenting needs to be way better than what's going on.
But I think we're doing a good job, like as far as like a new generation, like with the whole
I'm not gonna
go as far as to say that I'm like pro gentle parenting, because that looks a whole lot different to a
What's
lot of pro gentle
parenting.
So like gentle parenting is like this new wave where like it's kind of what I'm talking about, but like to an extreme. Like some examples that I've seen is like a mother would be talking to her children, and her children will spit on her or slap her or whatever, and then like she'll kind of like, okay, you just need a moment, and like turn around and kind of ignore it. So I'm not gonna go as far as that.
Is that white people?
It's definitely not.
But I don't think anybody in this community.
Some of them are picking it up though. Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, but the biggest thing is I feel like all of us are trying to break those childhood traumas. Like, I feel like all of us are trying to break those childhood cycles.
Yeah.
So I feel like that may be a little extreme for me, but I mean, I'm not going to speak on anybody else's parenting, because I feel like as a parent, it's all about trying to figure it out. Like, it's no guidebook. Every it child isn't.
You're
is
still parenting.
Yeah.
Even when you get older.
Yeah.
Like, my dad's still parenting me.
Yeah. And that's a blessing because I don't know that name.
I mean,
not like that.
That's a childhood thing too.
Yeah,
you know, like
for sure.
People growing up without their fathers, you know, father, especially when you have a female, you know,
that's traumatic
daughter,
right
like,
there. Me being completely vulnerable, and like I'm a thug, like low key. So I'm like, this is like a gem that I won't even say to like a lot of people. But like, I always envied other girls with their dads.
Really?
Like, yes, because like I'll never forget. I was at work one day, and I'm like 21, 22, and this girl, one of my coworkers, she was on the phone with her father, and she was just like, "Dad, like." You know, she was just talking to him, and he was talking back, and she had him on speakerphone, and he was just like, "Listen, pumpkin, like it's some things that you gotta." And it was just like that way that he talked to her from love.
Yeah.
Like I have never had that from my father. Like if I passed, I think that my father would only be concerned that his daughter passed, not that I passed.
That's
you know
so
what
unfortunate
I'm saying?
Because he's missing out on a great person.
Yeah, I think so too. Thank you, but it's like that's trauma, because I've always been trying to give my daughter that, because I don't want her to, you know, go through that. So, and that's the cycle that I just wasn't able to break, because her father is not as present as he should be. But
yeah, I mean, as long as you can, you know, do your part, you can't really worry about, you know, him.
Yeah.
He will have to deal with that.
But I just think about the scars that it's leaving on her, because those are scars that I still have,
I
feel like as a mother, I should have done a better job at picking a suitable father.
I get that.
But I had her young. I was 16, so.
I understand that. My father, he's in my life, but my father had left me and my mom, well, my family, when I was 9 years old, because my brother had gotten into a car accident. And he couldn't deal with losing one of his kids, even though he didn't lose him.
Oh,
the way how my brother transitioned into life, like he's a vegetable now.
Oh.
So he's not able to do everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
And he just felt like he completely lost his child, and it was his fault because they had had an altercation and something had transpired.
Oh.
And out of anger, what are we talking about now? It had led to him getting into a car accident, and he, you know, got into a coma, and he was in a coma for years. And then when he came out, he was a vegetable.
So your brother was driving?
No, my brother was walking across the street and he got hit by a car. And
Oh.
he flipped up in the air and laid right on his head. And he was in a coma for some years,
Wow.
like 12 years. Yep. So my father felt like he lost his son. So he basically, the word he wore was abandoned me and my other brothers. So he wasn't in my life for a while. And then when I turned 18, he, got
He
back
got
into my
hurt.
life. But that wasn't the whole full story, though. Turns out he was trying to get, back into my life. But my mom was trying to shelter me from that pain. So she kind of like kept him away from that. And I understood what it was. But at that time, I didn't because of I needed, I'm like, I, all of a sudden, I got my dad, and now my dad's not here. So, but I understood what she was trying to do, but it probably wasn't the right, way. But I get it as an adult, but as a child, I didn't. So I feel like as long as you talk certain situations over with your kid and be, let them be aware and, tell them certain things.
We have to start including our children. Like, everything is not for kids, no, but a child should not go 10 years thinking that their father just didn't want to be their father. Like,
A lot of parents tell them that their dad died.
yeah.
Like, dang, he's gonna write my father off like that.
Yeah, facts.
Yeah, they
Facts.
do that all because they're angry at that person.
That is the craziest thing. I will never understand that.
I get that you're trying to help them and shelter them from trauma and heartbreak and stuff like that, but just going about it a different way could be very helpful for your child
And
or
sometimes it's
even
not
for
even
you,
that. Sometimes it's
right?
just because he got a new girlfriend.
Exactly. The that's
That's the killer.
yep.
So now
Because
your
you mad
daddy,
because he don't want to be with you.
now your daughter or your son don't have a dad because he got a new girlfriend.
Right.
That's crazy. But these are those trauma bonds. I mean, not trauma
Yep.
bonds, these are those trauma cycles. Like,
Yep. They have to
just,
be broken down. You got to
yeah.
break them down and pick them, bit by bit.
We have to be conscious of what we're like absorbing and what we're putting back into the universe, because it's so easy to lack self-awareness. It's so easy to be ignorant and then just be like, well, I didn't know after the fact. But every single thing that we do is going to affect somebody else some type of way. And somebody said something to me one day that made a lot of sense. They said, you will always be the villain in somebody else's story.
That's true.
So that's crazy to me, because like, you can really live your life thinking that you were the victim the whole time somehow. Like, and
You
then like,
became
if
the
you,
villain.
that's
So, but sometimes
crazy.
you gotta be okay with being a villain in people's life.
And that's true.
You gotta
That's
be
very
okay with
true.
that. Whatever story you want to make up in your life, then okay.
Yeah.
But at least I know what I did on my part.
And then sometimes you gotta be okay with accepting the fact that, yeah, I can understand. Like, just like you said with your mom, she had good intentions. But she has to be okay with accepting the fact that I was the villain in this situation. Like, I was the one who caused the pain. And I feel like
Well,
once we can do that.
I feel like both of them caused the pain because when he left, he didn't realize what he was doing to his other children. So,
Definitely. I just mean between you and your mom, you know, y'all two having that conversation, like, she has to be okay with admitting that. And like you said, between him and you, he has to be okay with admitting that. Both of y'all fucking
Yeah. Y'all messing these kids up, and we're trying to prevent that from happening, but we only have so much control of, certain things. But I feel like if you could control how you talk to your kid and be there for them and, not just try to shy away their feelings and things like that, I think that, that's a start. That's a start. And you're not going to be able to fix it today, tomorrow, or how many. Everything is work.
And it's gonna take years. Like, honestly, it's gonna take years to break these cycles. Just like my daughter, you know, maybe she might take that to her kids and say, okay, well, I'm gonna have these meetings where I ask them, you know, how can I improve? Am I meeting all your needs? And then that's a new generational thing that'll happen. And then just taking bits and pieces from, like, what I try to do is I try to take all the positive influences in my life, and especially the positive parents that I see, and I just try to take bits and pieces from, you know, them and incorporate that into my life and my daughter's life. I'm always trying to be a better person. And I think that's one of the things that I've been blessed with. And I think that's, not to toot my own horn, I swear. Like, but I think that's what makes me a great person, because I'm always trying to figure out how I can be a
Be a
better
better
person.
person. I think a lot of people
don't really take the time to think about how can I be a better person. They think about how can I be better for someone.
Yeah.
But not a better person just in general.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good start.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as we, you know, keep working towards being better.
Yeah, I feel like if everybody did that, like, the world would be such a better place.
Yeah.
If everybody took a second to be like, how could I have been better in this situation?
Yeah.
I didn't have to cuss him out when he cut me off. Right. That's a me thing, because road rage is serious.
Listen, I'm not the same person that I was a couple of years ago. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely can attest to that. I'm still working through certain things. You know, it's a progress. It's
I don't think we're ever going to be done.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. It's always going to be. But I think that's the beauty of life. Like, honestly, not to get too deep, but I feel like that's the beauty of life, to, like, continuously improve, continuously be better, continuously learn, strive, grow. Like,
thank you guys for tuning into the Black Impact Podcast. My lovely guest, Jamise, is here. Thank you so much for tuning into today. Make sure you like, subscribe. Make sure you follow her page by the name of...
That's Jamise.
That's Jamise.
THATSJAMEISE. If you need hair or makeup services, I got you. Trauma free.
That's right. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in.